ज्ञान थे श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। हरे कृष्ण। इन द भागवत गीता श्रील प्रभुपाद डिस्क्राइबिंग व्हाट इज the theme of Bhagavad Gita is the theme of Bhagavad Gita is surrender to Krishna. That's the essence of that teaching, how to surrender to Krishna. Arjuna was already surrendered to Krishna. He was a family man, respected, Prabhupada said. He was also a prince, king. He had dominion, and he also was a fully surrendered devotee of the Lord, fixed in his mood of Sakya Rasa with the Supreme Lord. But when he was faced with doing his duty, it said he was overwhelmed with compassion. And he explained why he couldn't fight when Krishna asked him to fight. And he gave good reasons. He was deputed to fight on behalf of the Supreme Lord's desire to bring about saintly rule within the world. And he knew that, but still, he was seeing that the persons he was to oppose in this battle were very much connected with him throughout his whole life. And in that connection, there was a lot of affection. And so Krishna told him to bring the chariot between the two armies. And Krishna, actually he said to Krishna, bring the chariot between the two armies. And he wanted to see who it was to fight. And when he saw his grandfathers, his friends, his family members, his martial guru, so many persons that throughout life that he had very friendly and loving relationships with, affection, he just said, Krishna, I'm not fighting. He gave up his duty. And then after he recovered somewhat from his, let me say, lamentable state, he explained why. I can't fight because of these are family members, persons we love, persons that are very dear to us. So how is it possible to kill such persons? And even if they are avaricious by nature, even if they are greedy, even if they are acting in the wrong way, still, even if we win, what will be the happiness we can gain from such kingdom? We cannot enjoy the kingdom at the expense of the lives of persons we love. And then he also explained how those persons, they're reputable, great sages, some of them, Rajarsis, great kings, they set the tradition for religious principles, some of them. Therefore, if the elders are killed, then the whole society has no direction. And when that happens, then everything is lost. And he went on to explain that when all the men, the military men, will be killed, the women population will be left without protection, without care, without husbands and brothers, family members. And so unscrupulous persons within society will take advantage of that. And what will happen because of that? There'll be an increase of the population of vana sankara. That means unwanted population, not following rules, regulations, simply a population. You might say a population that we have today, within today's world. No rules, no regulations. In fact, the less rules, the better. That's the way it is, pretty much. And then when that happens, then the whole society goes to hell. That was the exact words he used. Now, Srila Prabhupada, in analyzing Arjuna's statement, said Arjuna had a kind heart. He had a kind heart. And Prabhupada says, the nature of Vaishnavas is that they are kind by nature. And therefore, they always are thinking of the welfare of others. But, and Prabhupada gives Arjuna credit for his kindness. But then he explains what was the nature of that kindness. The kindness was on the bodily platform. So it was compassion for the body. And then Krishna, after listening to Krishna, Arjuna's statements, he pretty much said, "Are you finished talking? Now it's my turn." Now it's my turn. Arjuna was taking Krishna as an equal at the beginning, but then when he realized that he wasn't getting anywhere, then he decided to take him as a guru. And that's when Bhagavad Gita actually begins, when Krishna is accepted as the supreme authority. It's no more friendly discussions. Then it becomes disciple and spiritual master. And then real knowledge is transmitted. And Krishna, first thing he says, Asocham anvasocham stva pratyavadam chabasase gatusams atugatsams cha nandu sochandi panditaha. Panditaha, a pundit. You're not a pundit, you're not a pundit. You're lamenting, you're giving explanations of a man who's under the bodily conception of life. Therefore, you're lamenting for that which is not worthy of being lamented. So though you're speaking lofty words, or though you're giving very compassionate understandings of the situation, Krishna said, "You're a fool," basically. And Arjuna was silent. And then it was Krishna's. Krishna went in to explain the difference between the soul and the body, the difference between what is eternal and what is temporary, the difference between, material concepts and spiritual principles. And then Bhagavad Gita instructions are given. So Arjuna's compassion was given some credit. But then again, in light of what is real compassion, it was seen as simply as a disturbance. So we see in today's world, there are many persons who are concerned about the welfare of others. And they do, when we say, great works in order to relieve the sufferings of others. And this is needed, and this is wanted. But on a higher level, what is real compassion? What is real concern? What is real welfare work for people in general? When Prahlad Maharaj was, after Hiranyakashipu was killed by Lord Nrisingadev, and Lord Nrisingadev asked, out of his love and concern, gratitude for Prahlad's devotion, he said, "Take a benediction." When he tried to give him so many benedictions, Prahlad refused, based on the concept that, "I don't worship you for something. I worship you because out of love." Mm-hmm. "And therefore that love, that loving worship is my happiness. That's all. I don't ask for anything." But the Lord was persistent. The Lord was consistent in his desire to give Prahlad something. And so finally, Prahlad said, all right, I will just allow me to remain in this material world and be an instrument for your compassion, to preach the message of God consciousness to the people in general. Let me give this knowledge to the fools and rascals. So here is real compassion, that people are suffering. We hear so much from the scriptures and from great saints that this material world is a place of suffering. We experience that. We also see that in the lives of others. And we know that ultimately everything ends in death, which is the ultimate suffering, we might say. And therefore, to relieve a person's suffering is real compassion. And what goes on today is relieving suffering. You know, there are, you know, hospitals, there are charitable institutions, there are so much, especially in India. It's very strong. And this is okay. This is glorious. But it cannot save a person from the real suffering. What is the real suffering? The real suffering is to have to accept the material body life after life and have to experience birth, death, old age, and disease. Janma jari, what is it? Dukku dosha huda. Janma mitir jara jari, dukku dosha nadarshanam. Over and over again, accepting the cycle of birth and death. The living entity is not a material entity. When Krishna began his discussion with Arjuna, this is what he spoke on. That the first principle to understand is you're not the body. And for compassion for the body, a concern for the body is important. But if you neglect the compassion for the person and simply for the outer aspect of the person's existence, then you're actually cheating that person. You're actually cheating. You're not giving them the real, what we say, the real benefit of your concern and compassion. We use a simple example. Devotees, sometimes they put on a little play. You know, there's a very rich lady, and she has a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful birdcage. And inside is a little bird. And she's so proud of the birdcage. And all her friends come over and she shows her friends this beautiful birdcage. And she shines the birdcage up and she puts decorations on the cage. And it's made out of so many nice metals and valuable. And she's very proud of the birdcage. And one day, one friend comes over and is looking, and he notices that inside the bird is like practically on the verge of death. The cage is nice. It looks good, sparkling, has nice decorations, and it's given all prominence. But the bird is neglected. She doesn't feed the bird. She doesn't care about the bird, only the cage. So in that way, that analogy is given that to just to say, simply to show kindness, compare, and attention to the body without taking care of the soul is, you know, neglecting the real person. So Arjuna's compassion was, that's why when Krishna called him a fool, he said, you don't really know what real compassion is. And what is real compassion? How do we give compassion to others? What is the feature of real compassion? What is the essence? And that is knowledge. Knowledge. Knowledge of one's identity. Therefore, the greatest welfare work that one can do is give knowledge, transcendental knowledge, or knowledge about the difference between what is eternal and what is temporary, what is this body, and what is the actual goal of life. So this is real welfare work. So the highest form of compassion means to distribute transcendental knowledge to others. His divine grace, Srila Prabhupada, that was his absorption. simply to give Krishna consciousness to others. When he came to America, and one of his early interviews with some reporters, they said, "Well, why have you come here? What is your message?" He said, I've come to teach you what you have forgotten. I've come to teach you what you have forgotten. And that you have forgotten who you are. So real concern is for the living being within and not to simply for the body. Of course, we take care of the body. Because if you don't take care of the body, then you may not be able to give what we say. Just like if a person is so hungry and they're starving and you're speaking philosophy to them, it's like they can't hear. They're not going to be able to hear. You give them some prasad, some mercy in the form of Krishna prasadam, the hunger becomes satisfied, then they're ready to receive the transcendental message. At least they're more ready. So that's the point, is that real compassion means to distribute Krishna consciousness. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada, in his explanation of the practice of Krishna consciousness, he says that one should be concerned with others by giving this knowledge to others. So sometimes a person will say, well, I'm not so qualified. I also need this knowledge myself, so how can I give? But whatever you know, how much you know, whatever you've heard, just like Prabhupada would use the example of Malati. Malati was one of the first ladies to join the Krishna Consciousness Movement back in 1967. Prabhupada started to actively preach in 1966, and Malati joined in 1967. And she had the first child within the movement. Her name was Saraswati. Saraswati's still there. I see her sometimes. She lives in Chicago. And she was a little girl, and she was freely mingling with all the devotees at that time. There weren't so many devotees. And then when they would have the Sunday feast, the guests would come, and they would sit down to take prasadam. And she was sometimes, little Saraswati, she was about 4 or 5 years old. She would run through the crowds, seeing the different guests. Sometimes she would come up to them and say, do you know who Krishna is? And sometimes they would say, no. And she would say, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then she would run away and go to the next person. And Prabhupada, when he heard what she was doing, he said, yeah, she's actually preaching. This is good preaching. She's giving the perfect knowledge. How much does she know? How much can a five-year-old person, little child, understand in a philosophical sense? But at least she understands that she's heard from her authorities, she's heard from Prabhupada, from her parents, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. She repeats that. So that is preaching, to repeat at least what you understand or what you heard. Of course, we cannot repeat what we say, those things that are way beyond our level. We can't describe the rasa dance, I was just listening to Srila Prabhupada this morning. He was speaking about that. He said some people, they go to Rasa Leela. They need to go to Vrindavan and they see Rasa Leela. And sometimes there are many displays of songs and dramas like that. But he says if you're sitting there watching Rasa Leela, you should becoming free from all lusty desires. If he says if that's not the case, then don't watch it. In other words, By experiencing these things or hearing about these things, your kama reduces, not increases. Increases, as Prabhupada said, in two words, stop it. So we may not be able to, preach on that. And it's not. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was preaching, he never spoke about the intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. He spoke basic philosophical teachings. As Krishna was speaking in the Bhagavad Gita, and he spoke about the process of devotional service. So compassion or concern is to give another person an opportunity to move forward on the spiritual path. That is real compassion. So, and because when a person has knowledge, then they can solve their own problems. Mm-hmm. Prabhupada would use the example, if you feed someone, that's nice. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying we shouldn't do material welfare work. That is necessary. But it's not the ultimate form of compassion. And that has to be, that spiritual knowledge has to be given to society. Otherwise, it's just decorations of a dead body. That's all. So real knowledge or real compassion gives a person a chance to solve their own problems. Because when a person is Krishna conscious or God conscious, then they are connected with the source. And when you're connected with Krishna, then there's nothing else to desire. As Prahlad Maharaj was explaining to Lord Nisringadev, I'm happy, I'm satisfied, I don't want anything. The more one becomes Krishna conscious, the more one becomes free from all what we say needs. They're happy, they're satisfied. And even if there is some need, as Krishna says, you know, Anayas chintayanto mam ye jina paryupasate tesham nityabhayuktanam yogiv shema vahami aham. I take care of you. I take care of my devotees. Even if a devotee forgets to take care of himself, Krishna will take care of a devotee. That's Krishna's love for his devotee. So there's no need. Every day we sing in the morning and dinner during our morning programs. We glorify Srila Prabhupada. And there's one beautiful song. It's called Guru Vandana, the glories of the spiritual master, written and sung by Srila Narottam Das Thakur. And in one line of that song, it says, Siguru charane rate, ese utamagate, ye prasadi purve sarva as. Ye prasadi purve sarva as. That means that simply by taking shelter of the process of devotional service under the guidance of the spiritual master, all of one's desires become satisfied. And there's two ways to satisfy your desire. One is you get what you want. And the other way is you get something better and you no longer want that. And that's what Krishna consciousness is about, to give a higher taste. When we're fixed in our spiritual life, and we're fixed in devotional service, we no longer need or desire so many things. Because, as Risayam Vinivartante Niharasya Dehinam Raso Varjam Raso Pyasya Param Drisra Nivartante Param Drisra. And when you get a higher taste, you give up the lower taste. So that higher taste comes by way of transcendental knowledge. When one understands that knowledge and applies the knowledge in their life, then they become free from what is called the modes of material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance, which are the sources or energies which keep us entangled and trapped in the process of birth and death. So knowledge is the greatest welfare work one can give. I remember many years ago, we would do interfaith work with other religious traditions. This was in America, in Chicago. About 10 years ago, I was involved in this type of activity. And many times, this is not a criticism, but this was an observation, many times a lot of these organizations wanted to do like welfare work, you know, like clean up the rivers and, you know, distribute, you know, clothes and so many things like that. So they would always turn to, we weren't so much, our welfare work was to give prasadam. That was our program, to give Krishna prasadam to as many persons as we could. But then again, they were always wondering, what are you actually offering? And we would say that the real need is knowledge. A society without direction is like a body without a head. And that's today's world. Today's world, there's no direction. The legs carry. The stomach is the place where the food is. And the arms carry, also do things. But without any intelligence, without any direction to move the legs and the arms and the rest of the body, then society is just like a dead body flapping around. So the greatest form of compassion and welfare work is to give a person knowledge. His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj ki jai, Shamsundar Prabhu ki jai. So, and this knowledge is here. Krishna came to this world to speak transcendental knowledge. And that, he spoke that transcendental knowledge in the form of this Bhagavad Gita. And this knowledge in Bhagavad Gita, once one practices this knowledge, we were listening to Srimad Bhagavatam class this morning by His Grace, Radha Gopinath Prabhu. And he gave many, many, many interesting philosophical points. But one of the points that he mentioned, which was a realization I got, he said, now you have to apply it. And that's the hard part. You know. And Krishna not only gives the knowledge, but he teaches the application too through the spiritual master. How to apply that knowledge in a day-to-day life where theoretical knowledge becomes realized activity. And that is what Krishna consciousness is about. It's not simply reading books and, you know, wondering how this applies. It is an application. It's called vigyan. Gyan is knowledge, and vigyan means knowledge that has been realized through day-to-day application. So this knowledge is meant not only to be distributed, but to apply it in the life. And to teach both the knowledge and the application is the completion of compassion. Not just give the knowledge, but to also give the feature on how this knowledge can be applied in one's life. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he not only gave the Yuga Dharma, he demonstrated the Yuga Dharma by in his own daily life, by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra in his life 24 hours a day, holding kirtans, holding programs, and chanting. He showed by practical application how one should practice glorifying the Lord by chanting His holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his teachings of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, he demonstrated this in so many ways to show how we should practice chanting. He not only chanted in kirtan, he was a perfect example of chanting japa. Sometimes we see even pictures, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's holding japa beads. And he would chant the holy names with his devotees in front of Tulsi Maharani, showing that he was acting as the perfect devotee. So giving the knowledge, giving the tradition, but applying it in his own life and teaching that from that position. So compassion is not is completed when the knowledge is given in a practical way. In a practical way. Sometimes we persons speak very nice, spiritual knowledge, philosophical knowledge. But then again, when it comes to actually applying that in their life, it's not there. Prabhupada would also say, one has to teach, not only teach, but teach by example. Because teaching by example has much more effect than simply giving the words. And sometimes we say in the Western countries, your actions speak so loud I can't hear what you're saying. And that means a person is saying one thing and something else is there when it comes to their life. But Srila Prabhupada, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they have taught us by their example that this knowledge is perfect, and the application of this knowledge is the perfection of of compassion, and applying it and distributing this knowledge to others. And this is Krishna consciousness. And this is what the world is most lacking. As we were mentioning, there are so many organizations to take care of compassion on the bodily platform, and that's important, it's needed. But without the compassion for the soul, without compassion for the living entity, then simply we have missed the goal of life. And therefore people remain, when we say, in a suffering condition. And that's what it's all about today. People think we just have to do more for the body, and then it'll get better. But that's been going on. Now, more than ever, the greatest need is transcendental knowledge and our understanding of our relationship with the Lord. And when we understand that, or at least we're developing a process of applying that knowledge to bring about that understanding, and then there is no more what we say. There's ignorance is destroyed, and ignorance is the cause of suffering. A child suffers sometimes because it doesn't know what to do. But one who knows, one who understands what is the purpose of life and how to apply those principles in order to achieve that purpose, there may be some difficulty, but there is no more suffering. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.
Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.